going through these hard times. And you know, if I'm a preacher that I'm supposed to be, it hurts me when I see you hurt. And I know you're going through battles, and it does. I don't always act like it, but it does. I got a heart in here, you know. I just don't let you know it. And I've seen many of you that are suffering and going through battles and struggling. And I believe that there's some things you need to think about. I believe there's people in here this morning that have been just that close to just giving up. Just giving up. And the devil, see, you know, it's just like when we used to play games and stuff. If a devil can get you to the edge, he'll just push you on over. And he'll just push you on over. He keeps pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. And then you just think, what is the use? What's the use in even trying? Here I have served God and tried to do right, and now look what happened. Why is this happening in my life? Why is that happening in my life? Why am I going through this difficulty here? And if you're not careful, you'll think that everybody in the world's happy but you. And everybody in the world's got it made but you. And everybody has the perfect church and the perfect home but you. And everybody in the world's got the perfect job or the perfect mate but you. And then the devil's getting you where he wants you. There's some things you're going to have to understand about the Christian life. Y'all listen? Everybody listen? You just might as well get it through your head right now. This is contrary to what our society is told to believe nowadays, but the Christian life is not always easy. There are hard times in the Christian life. When I first got saved, I went to revival services and people would stand up and they'd be crying. They'd say, "Pray for me, I'm just about ready to quit." And I honestly thought they was crazy. I thought they was lying. I said, "That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. Why would anybody want to quit? Why would anybody even want to think about it? That's crazy. That's ridiculous." But you know why I said that? I had only been saved a few months. I was on cloud nine. And I realized that there are times when it seems like every gun the devil has is pointed right toward you. Jeremiah the prophet went through times like this. You know what Jeremiah said in chapter 9, verse 2? Jeremiah said, "Oh, that I had a place in the wilderness that I could just flee to." You ever felt like that? Thought, man, I tell you, I'd just like to take off and leave McDowell County and never see it again and go to the, had a place way out where I didn't know nobody in it. Have you ever had, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever had those thoughts? Sure you have. Sure you have. You know, you wouldn't be normal if you hadn't. But you know the problem with that? The problem is, you could leave McDowell County and run to California to get away from your problems, and guess what? You take your problems with you. They're right here. They're right here. You can't get away from yourself, and that's your problem. Can't get away from it. And these are some things you're going to have to learn to live with. Life's not always easy. Doing right's not always easy. It's not always fun. It doesn't always come natural to do the right thing. You want to just quit. And I want to talk to somebody in here this morning who's just about just to throw in the towel and give it up. We'd probably be shocked here this morning if we knew how many people was hitting here this morning and you say, "I just barely even made it to church, preacher. I almost didn't even come this morning." You just don't know what a terrible week I've had. Now, I don't have anybody in mind when I say this. I just feel it in my heart. Usually when the Lord lays something on my heart like this, there's several in here that need it real bad. Of course, you get this many people together, I don't care what you preach on. Somebody's going to need it. I hope that ain't true, but about anything I can preach on, there's somebody in here going to need it. Ain't that right? I don't reckon there's no transvestites or nothing in here, but if you are, you need it too. Now listen, you know what? I talked to a young lady recently who's quitting church, and I said, "You shouldn't do this." And she began to give me all the reasons. "I'm quitting because of this, I'm quitting because of this, I'm quitting because of this, I'm quitting because of this." And I had a young man tell me the same thing. "I'm quitting because of this, Brother Danny, I quit because of this, Brother Danny, I quit because of this." But the truth is, anybody in the world, when you get discouraged and down, and the devil hits you, and everything goes wrong, you can give up and make up 50 reasons why you did it. And you can blame the church, and you can blame the preacher, and you can blame the deacons, and you can blame the Sunday school class, and you can blame the choir, and you can blame the ladies, and you can blame the men. But listen, you've got to get it in your head that God saved me, that He put me in the church, that I'm not perfect, I've messed up a lot, but by the grace of God, I will get up and I will try to keep on going. Amen? Here's the way you start out your Christian life. Here's the way I start out my Christian life. I was just born, just got saved. Danny Castle, and announced in heaven, entering in lane number 7,240. Go! Here I went, 90 miles an hour. And I went like that for a long time. Just fast as I could go. And boy, I was going down the road real fast one day, and the devil reached out and tripped me, and I went, bam! Hit right on my face. And boy, I jumped up and went, ow! Man, that hurt. You ever fell? I don't ever bust my nose because I got enough sense to kiss myself. You don't stick your nose down in gravel. I never did figure out how come people fall, stick their nose down in a gravel road. I bloodied up my elbows a lot and my knees. And I have scars and scabs and all kind of that. And boy, I got up and said, I didn't say, I got to say, all right, I'm going to keep on running, but I'm just going to be more careful. I'm not going to quit running just because I fell. You try it again. So I keep on. I'm going to watch where I step. There's that big rock I tripped over a while ago. Oh, missed that. Oh, yeah, he didn't get me that time. And I'm running this way and running that way. And running this way and running that way. And then I think I'm doing pretty good. Bam! Hit the ground again. Now, the problem is when you break your leg, it's hard to run. And that's the way some of you are this morning. Here's your Christian life. I'm coming, preacher. You're like that old dude on what's that guy's name that did that? Festus. No, the other one. That old man. Yeah, him. What's that show? I can't even remember. Petticoat Junction. Real McCoy. Yeah, that's it. Don't you remember, Grandpa? He goes, that's why. And that's the way some of you are. You're a Christian. You start out 90 miles an hour, man, and now you're just humping along. But thank God you're still going. That's better than quitting. We got too many Christians that are sitting over here like this, laid up in a spiritual hospital, saying, I've had it. I ain't trying that no more. I'm just going to take life easy and let it pass me by. You can't do that. You can't do that. Here, you know how my Christian life is sometimes? Here's my Christian life sometimes. But I'm going, buddy. Sometimes it's like this. But I'm going. I'm not going to quit by the grace of God. If the Lord will help us. We're going, I just want to, listen, it's not, this race is not to the swift. It's not who can run the fastest. All God wants you to do is cross over the line one day. Isn't it going to be great one day? I think I pulled my britches down there, slide. Isn't it going to be great one day when we cross the finish line and God said, hey, you come in on crutches, but thank God you came in. You come in hobbling. You wasn't in first place, but you made it. Amen. You didn't come in ahead of everybody else, but hallelujah, mate. But he will feel good one day when we stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I ain't much. And Lord, I got scabs on me. And God, I got bruises all over me. And God, I'm sorry. And God, I got out of your will 1,000 times. But glory to God, I crossed the finish line and I made it and I'm here. That's what I'm important one day. Before you quit, you better think about stuff like that. I heard about, you say, well, Brother Danny, I just feel like such a big hypocrite. You're just learning what it's like to live the Christian life. I felt more right with God when I first got saved than I do most time. Now, you know why? Because the older you get and the more you live for God, the more sinful you realize you really are. The truth is, when you first get saved, you think you're a pretty good fella, don't you? Here I am serving God, praise the Lord, and you'll get kind of a self-righteous attitude and start thinking you're better than others. I went through that. You probably did too. Young preachers, worst in the world for it. I said, bless God, you better do this, you better do that, you know. And the Lord let me see right quick how sorry I was. Now, you think about this. You say, oh, Brother Andy, you just don't know what a dog I am. You're in good shape to live for the Lord now. Because that way He gets the glory. If you think you can do it, you can't. If you'll just trust Him, do the best you can, God will live it through you. I was listening to a Christian program the other day, and I heard this guy on there, and him and his wife, I guess it's a preacher and his wife, they went around all over the country giving these marriage seminars to troubled marriages that were in trouble. And I mean people just flocking to hear them because there's so many marriages having problems now. And they all come, people just come to hear them everywhere. And they got in there, one of them, and he said that they flew somewhere, like out west somewhere. Him and his wife flew to a marriage seminar. And he said on that trip, him and his wife got in the biggest fuss that they'd ever had. Them going to do a marriage seminar camp. And he said, we fussed and fought all the way there. I hated her, she hated me. I mean, the whole thing, all the way there. Here we are going to do a marriage seminar. And he said, we got in there. That place was packed. Those couples eagerly awaiting our good advice to solve all their marriage problems. And he was being honest. I mean, and you know, I appreciate it. It was like Brother Waitzel last Sunday night. Didn't his honesty help you out there? Sure did. See, the devil will tell you nobody has problems but you. The devil will tell you everybody's perfect but you. So you might as well quit. I want to tell you this morning, he's a liar. Amen? You say, well, me and my wife got to fight this morning and throw jelly on each other. Well, so what? Confess it, come on to the house of God and get something from the Lord anyway. You know what that guy done? He walked in there and he said, folks, I know we're supposed to conduct a marriage seminar here today. He said, but I hate to tell you this. Me and my wife just had the worst fight we've ever had in our life. He said, I ain't in no shape to tell nobody nothing. He said, I can't tell y'all having a marriage. He said, I just, you know, about to kill her a while ago. And he said, he confessed that thing. He said, but I want to get it right with God. He said, we have an unresolved conflict. That's his word. He said, it's unresolved conflict. And he said, and you know what they done? Them people in there started seeing that they was human, and they started confessing, and and it done more good for them than his little talk was going to do for them. You know why? Because they thought, hey, there's a marriage counselor. There's a marriage counselor. He's got the same problems I have. Glory to God. If he can make it, I can make it. Amen? So God used that faith. Listen, wouldn't it be awful if there was just a few, like the preacher was perfect and everybody was perfect, and you just had to say, I mean, listen, we're all human. We all have our problems. We all have our burden. I got the same wicked flesh you've got. We're all tempted in like manner. We face the same temptations. We face the same. Don't you think you're the only person going through what you're going through? All you've got to do is just say, by the grace of God. Somebody come on down and said, preacher. They said, preacher, I'm just going through a hard time. He said, well, hallelujah. And they said, well, you don't understand. I'm going through it. He said, well, glory to God. She said, are you being disrespectful? He said, no. Thank God. He said, well, I just told you I'm going through the worst problem I've ever had in my life. I'm going through a terrible time. He said, hallelujah. She said, well, what in the world is wrong with you? He said, lady, listen to what you're saying. You just said I'm going through it. You're not going to be stuck in it forever. You're going through it. You know them tunnels over there going toward Knoxville? I go through them all the time when I go there. I'd hate to be stuck in one of them things. It don't bother me as long as I'm moving. I'm moving. I don't like that. I think I'm in a tunnel, but I'm going through it. And over there you can see the light into the tunnel. Of course, you know, like that one fellow said, he said, I saw the light at the end of the tunnel. It was an oncoming train. Flatten him out. You know why you shouldn't quit? Because there's people looking at you. It ain't always easy. Every week's different. Every month's different. Y'all know I travel all the time, and Friday night I have one of the hardest trips that I've had in a long time. Usually, it don't bother me. I can grit my teeth and make it. Usually I just make up my mind. I'm not stopping until I get to Marion, and I can do it. I mean, it's hard, but I can do it. But Friday night, I'm telling you, everything, I don't know what it was, that I'd been up, hadn't had much sleep, and I was real tired, and I preached the service Thursday night. And I was coming home from Maryland. It's 400 and about 30 miles. Takes right about 7 hours. And I was getting ready to come home, and they said, preacher, you're not going to leave tonight, are you? And I said, well, ain't nothing to hold me here. It's over. And they said, you got your motel room, just go ahead and sleep. And said, we want you to play the guitar tonight. We want you to get the young people together. They wanted to learn Tom the Toad. They wanted to learn Itty Bitty Seeds. They wanted to learn Butterfly Song. And I think I made up part of it. I didn't even know the words all in myself. And I said, okay. They said, now you got to come to the pastor's house. And they had Sloppy Joes. Except Yankee, you know what Yankees call Sloppy Joes? Anybody know? Steamers. I said, would you like a steamer? I said, huh? I said, you like a steamer? And they ain't even Yankees. Mason-Dixon line's about 5 miles above where they live here in Pennsylvania. But I don't want a steamer. It looked like Sloppy Joe's to me. And I ate one. And I ate. But I tell you, they said, don't leave. And I said, I'm going to leave. I've got to go home. I said, I got a lot to do tomorrow, and I want to get home. Well, went back to the motel. Time I got everything packed up, it was nearly 12:30. And I thought, well, maybe I should sleep a while and then get up and drive home. So I lay down on bed. And I lay down on bed, and I thought, I ain't a bit sleepy. And I said, well, maybe I can go to sleep. And I lay there like this, and I thought, I can't sleep. I ain't sleepy. I'll never get to sleep at 12:30. I said, all right, I'll make myself sleep 2 hours and get up late. I said, there ain't no sense in this. Get up and go. So I locked it up, got my 4Runner, head down the interstate. I was not 20 miles. 20 miles, man. I wasn't far from here to Morganton. And I was like this. I said, oh, Lord, I've messed up now. Can't go back. The hotel locked up. I'll never make it. 430 miles. 20 miles, I was dying. So I said, well, what I'll do is I'll drive 100 miles. I'll drive 100 miles and I'll stop. So I fought it out for 100 miles. Drove 100 miles, pulled in over to this place. And I always usually stop instead of a rest area. Sometimes rest areas are dangerous, so I stop at a convenience store. And because there's people running in and out. And there's a Chinese restaurant right beside it. And I pulled in here and I went over here in a little dark spot. And it's kind of light shining over. I said, right here's the perfect place. And I don't want no light shining in my eyes. I locked it up. Well, I got my pistol, put it right down in that seat in front of me, laid it down like this on the back seat, and I said, all right, I settled down to a long winter's nap. And hallelujah, this feels good. I'm telling you, I about dozed off. About that time, a big truck pulled in right behind me. Big truck. And I heard something going. I heard people getting out and talking to people. Was going, boom, boom. I thought, what are they doing? I looked down, his truck pulled in right behind me. I said, good night, I can't sleep like this. And I thought, this is a drug deal. These guys are out here at 2 o'clock in the morning, man. 2 o'clock in the morning unloading this truck into some vans. There was vans lined up. I don't know what it was. I thought, maybe. And I saw this one guy looking over at me, and I thought, oh, no. I'm a witness to this. They're going to kill me. And I said, I can't sleep, and this is going on. Got back in, start up down the road. I wasn't 50 miles. Here I was doing it again. I mean, I was about to die. I'd get $50, laid down, went to sleep good. Well, I stopped again, tried again. This time I did stop at a rest area. It was real crowded. This guy had a big Suburban here and a van here. I thought, I'll get right in between them. There ain't nobody going to go down through there and say, all right, now, which person am I going to kill? Okay, I'll get him. That ain't going to happen. I said, I'll just pull right in here between all these cars, and I'll lay down and go to sleep again. Well, I tried it again. I'd done pretty good there, so I was freezing. I woke up, and it was cold as ice. I had a sore throat. I mean, it was cold, man. It frosted up there the other night. And I got it, took off down the road again. And I went a few miles, tried it again at another store. Maybe lasted 15 or 20 minutes. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't sleep, couldn't stay awake. Couldn't sleep, couldn't stay awake. And sometimes that's the way it is on your Christian life. Boy, it's frustrating. You just think, good night. But listen, I think of all them good trips I've had. I think of all them times I went down the road, listened to the youth choir, put in a good teaching, preaching tape. And they far, far, far outweigh them bad ones like I had done. And I made it home. It took me a lot longer than normal. And but I made it home and everything was all right. I want to tell you this morning, that's the way your Christian life is. Don't just blow up and blow out because something went wrong. Things have got to go wrong once in a while. We're on the devil's territory. We're on enemy territory. We're in a world that's living for the devil. Everything ain't going to go rosy. You're going to have some hard knocks. You're going to have some difficult days. You're going to have some times when it'd be easy just to throw up your hands and forget the whole mess. It's during those times that you've got to regroup, get a hold of yourself, back up, and hit again. Try to live for God. You'll never amount to nothing if you just quit every time a little opposition comes your way. It's like that in business. It's like that in sports. It's like that in anything. You've got to determine in your heart by the grace of God. A lady told me one time, she said, I just don't think I can. She's having marriage problems. She said, I just don't think I can stand 10 more years of this. I said, well, what makes you think you're going to be here 10 more years? You can stand it 10 minutes, can't you? Can you handle it 10 more minutes? You say, no, you got big trouble. You can stand it 10 more minutes. Surely you can. You know what the problem is? The devil says, you're going to stand this another 20 years. Well, I don't know. I might be in heaven in 5 minutes from now. Don't listen to him. When you're about ready to quit, you better remember these people. You know what they told me about them kids in Maryland? Boy, it kind of encouraged me to really go on for God. I got up there. They didn't have a youth group 2 years ago. I got up there, the two front pews, and part of the third was full of young people, just like we have here this morning. Full. Kids, teenagers. And a handful, I think 15 of them, had come to camp. And they got up to sing at night. The first time they'd sang, they sang, "We'll sing this for Brother Danny." And they sang a song. Another song they sang for me. They sang, "We'll Leave It All Behind." And they got that from, our youth choir. And they began to give testimonies. And they said, "Preacher," they said, "these kids think that you, your church, that's just the greatest thing in the world." One kid the other night went up to his mom and said, "I got this close to him." if I'd have known which one he was, I'd have went, "Ah!" But you know what? We got too many people looking at us. You can't quit. You can't quit, friend. You say, "Nobody's looking at me, preacher." They know your spot in the choir. They know you're alive. They're watching you. If you go down, if you quit, if you go out on God, if you quit church, you'll drag other people down with you. You say, "Well, you just don't understand." Well, I don't know what you're going through, and it may be terrible, and I may, you know, it may blow my mind if I knew, and I don't even want to know unless you want to tell me. But I want to tell you something this morning. Whatever it is, don't make a stupid decision when you're down and out. You let God pull you on through. Let God. Just because things are rough right now and you're going through some pain, don't do something stupid. You let God pull you on through. This world's full. Listen, you know all them boys in jail this morning? A lot of guys in jail and prison this morning is because they made a stupid decision before they thought. They took a gun, killed somebody, murdered somebody with a knife, something like that, before they thought. Better think. I don't know how you feel this morning. I feel like there's somebody in here this morning, you're just saying, "What is the use? The harder I try, the worse it gets." I feel like you that part, Brother Danny, crawling a while ago. Except I've just quit. If you can just keep wiggling your toe, man. Just show God you hadn't given up. He'll bless you for it. One of my favorite poems was this message. I had a lady call me one time. She's having marriage problems. And she's about ready to leave her husband. And when the devil puts that in a woman's head or a man's head, once he's got that in your head and he starts working on you with it, the more he talks to you, the better it sounds. And you know what you got to do? You got to get a grip, sis. You got to get a grip, brother, and say, "Lord, help me to go." And you say, "I just don't think I can do it, preacher." But you try. That's all God wants you to do, is you try your best. Somebody said, if you'll do your best, God will do the rest. And it goes like this, a little poem. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're traveling seems like it's all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to cry, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but never, ever quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never know how close you are. You may be near when it seems like you're far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. And when you ain't got no more fight left in you or desire left in you, and you think, "I can't go another step," that's what makes a Christian different from a sinner. There's somebody bigger than you that gets in you and carries you along. And His name is Jesus. And He wants to do that for you today. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. You say, "That's not what I want to hear this morning." Well, it may not be, but it's what you got. It's what the Lord wants you to hear, I believe. As others say, preacher, that's exactly what I needed. You feel like you need to come. Some are coming already. You feel like you need to come down this altar. You've been beat. The devil's turned you every way but loose. He's hit you in the side. He's hit you in the head. He's hit you from behind. He's hit you in the front. He's hit you financially. He's hit you physically. He's hit you every way you can be hit. What you need to do this morning, just say, God, by your grace, I'll go on. Hallelujah. It may not be another day or two. We'd be in heaven. You don't know. Never know, brother. Lord might be coming today. You never know. Would you let the Lord speak to your heart this morning? Would you? Others are coming. Just crowd around this altar. Anywhere. All over the building. Come on. Come on. Come on. You don't have to. You don't. You say, well, people might think that I'm having terrible problems. Listen, don't worry about it. We're all human, okay? Don't worry about it. Just get down here and get it took care of. We ain't going to think bad of you. Let the Lord help you this morning. Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done in our lives. We love you. I pray for that one that's real discouraged and just about to the point of giving up. I pray that you would encourage them and give them a new desire and determination to live for you and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.